Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Kristen Johnson. She is the spokesperson for the Better Business Bureau Connecticut chapter, and we are going to be focusing this morning on phishing scams. In fact, the BBB has just done a big study into phishing, and it's definitely a topic that deserves a lot of conversation because it could very well impact every single one of us, whether it's me or Kristen or you in the audience. So it is a big deal and worthy of some serious conversation. Good morning, Kristen. Welcome back on Face Connecticut.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back. And you're right. Anyone who has a device could become susceptible to the scam.
It's so concerning, you know, and we are really going to dig into this from the anatomy of a phishing scam to the data that you guys have recently compiled and collected and analyzed. But just in general, for somebody joining us and they've heard the term before, but they're not totally familiar with it, what is phishing?
So a phishing scam, and that's phishing with a PH, not an F, is when someone tries to steal your personal information. It started back in the 90s with email, people getting fake emails from scammers pretending to be someone they aren't and trying to talk you into giving away your address, your phone number, your banking account information, your social security number, so that they could steal your identity. Even though it's the oldest and one of the most known scams, we're still falling for it. And the reason why is bad actors have been able to adapt it over time, and now they're using technology to their advantage.
And it just is an issue that is continuing to grow and grow. Kristen, what is the latest information statistically on phishing? Who's impacted, whether we're talking about at the Connecticut level, which is, of course, of interest to our audience, but also at the national level?
Yes, we looked back from 2021 through the first quarter of 2024. We've seen a couple hundred reports to BBB Scam Tracker from Connecticut, nearly 20,000 nationwide. And the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center from 2021 to 2023 received nearly a million reports of phishing scams. And it's not just phishing, it's also vishing and smishing. And we can go over what those three terms mean.
Well, let's go over those right now because you caught my ear. Those sound catchy.
Yeah, so phishing is what we talked about. That's kind of the overall, people are being targeted to give their personal information away, and a lot of times that then leads to the loss of money. Vishing is when they do it over the phone through voicemail. So you might get that fake voicemail, and for instance, a college student or someone who just graduated from college may receive a voicemail saying that their student loans can be forgiven. Call this number and we'll talk you through it. Smishing is a text message form of phishing. Those are really on the uptick right now. People have been trained now to look at their emails and kind of say, okay, I know this is a scam. For some reason, they believe that if it comes through text message, it's more personal. Not as many people might text them, at least not as many people that they don't know. And so people are falling for those types of scams more now. We had about 3,500 reported to BBB in the last 3 years, but more so just in the last year. A very common example that probably you and I have both seen and a lot of your listeners have seen is that fake USPS text message that says, we're having a problem delivering your package. The address is missing. Fill out this form, pay $3 with a credit card, and we will finalize the delivery of your package. We see a lot of those around the holidays, and it's been an increase just in the last two Christmas seasons. Well, what happens is people fill out this information. Now the scammer has their personal information. They have their address, their phone number, but they also get their credit card. And we've seen people in Connecticut who paid that $3 and ended up getting charged $80. One person reported a scam tracker. It was an Uber Eats charge for $80 immediately after they filled out that form. So we'll go over some tactics and some red flags, but also some ways to keep safe.
And when we're talking about losses, Kristen, I'm also looking at the BBB's scam tracker phishing reports, where it shows the number of incidents, which in the last 2 years roughly has been on the rise, but also the median loss that people experience also going up.
Yeah, so in 2021, the median loss was 300, and we had about 5,300 reports. 2022, a median loss continued to be 300. But then last year, almost double the number of reports, 9,288 reports, resulting in a median loss of $313. And in the first quarter of this year, which looks like it's going to be another record year, $317, the median loss, and already almost 3,500 reports of the scam just in the first quarter. That is people, just consumers in general. But when we look at business scams, and we're talking like business email compromise, where someone might get an email that's purported to be from their superior saying, I need you to pay this invoice, or I need you to buy gift cards for this vendor. We're looking at an average of $147,000 in losses just to single businesses, individual businesses. So business email compromise is huge right now. And again, it all goes back to AI, according to the experts that we've talked to.
And that's definitely something that we're going to be talking about. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and Kristen Johnson is the spokesperson for Connecticut's Better Business Bureau. We're talking about phishing this morning, and that's phishing with a P. And so as we continue to talk about phishing, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how AI plays a role in this, I think it's just important that we talk about the anatomy of a phishing scam and tactics that people can use to be on the lookout for, okay, this is a link that was sent to me in my email, but it doesn't look quite right, or the email sender also doesn't look quite right. So what are some telltale signs that people might be getting phished?
So we have a few examples. If we're getting phished through email, you want to look at who that email is coming from, and specifically the domain name. That is what comes after the at symbol. If it's a bunch of characters, you know it's a scam. If it's someone pretending to be a government agency, and I should pause and say, we're seeing phishing scams used in every type of scam out there, and that includes government imposters. So if you're getting an email that purports to be from, say, the IRS saying you owe back taxes. Look, if it doesn't say .gov at the end, then it is not coming from the government. But also know the government's not going to email you if you have back taxes. They're not also going to text you. That's not the form of communication that they use. So first of all, look at where it's coming from. Whether it's a text or an email, if it's a business, say a store that you buy clothes from, do they normally text you? Do they normally email you if there's a problem with your order? Think about that first. And then instead of replying to that email, because a lot of times there will be links in the emails, what you want to do is first hover over that link. See where it's going to take you. Is it going to take you to the website that you usually go to? If not, then you want to go to that website. If you recently placed an order, look at the last email, official email that you got from that company after you made your purchase, and use that contact information. Be wary of Googling for contact information, because another way that phishing scams are used is by creating fake websites. They'll take the logos, the pictures, the fonts, the colors, and make you think you're on the real website, which is why it's important to look in the URL and make sure you are going to where you think you're going. But back to the anatomy of a phishing scam. I know I gave you a lot of information right there. After you look at where it's coming and after you hover over the links, we also want you to look at what they're saying. If it's an attempt to push you through the process quickly, if they're creating this sense of urgency, that's when you want to take a step back and not make any quick decisions. You want to be skeptical. Now, one tactic that we always tell people to use is to look at the spelling, look at the grammar, because a lot of times these scammers are halfway around the globe and they may not have a good command of the English language. However, that's changing thanks to AI. Now they're able to craft messages that look like the way we type, that sound like the way they talk, that we talk. And that makes them indiscernible from a normal message. So while I would still say, if you see typing errors, if you see grammatical errors or spelling errors, that's a red flag, but you may not see that anymore.
There are so many things that I see spelled incorrectly and by accounts that are brand new on, say, Facebook, for instance, I'm in a number of Facebook groups, and they'll say, you know, for one, I'm in a group about Avon, Connecticut, and, you know, people put things on this Avon Facebook group. But somebody will say, oh, you know, I install gutters, and click here for more information about my business. But you could just tell that that spelling just isn't right, or that account is brand new. You know, it looks concerning. So sometimes it's obvious, other times not so much. As you mentioned with AI, they can get pretty close to sounding official.
Unfortunately, they can. So that's why you need to take it another step and do some other things. You know, really think about it. Does it seem too good to be true? Sometimes you might get an email that says you won something from a big company, like a $500 gift card from Walmart. Does it sound too good to be true? It probably is. If there's a generic message with the logo of a well-known company and it's not personalized to you, that's also a red flag. But remember, so much of our personal information is already out there, whether it's because we put it on Facebook, whether it's because we filled out a survey online to win something. We don't look at those third-party agreements, the fine print at the end of websites that say your information is going to be sold to a third party, and so we may not realize how much about us is already out there. So scammers are getting better at personalizing things. We've got scam tracker reports from people who said that the person on the other end of the line knew the last four digits of their Social Security number. All they need is a little more of your information. It's like putting those pieces of a puzzle together, and they can easily steal our identities, unfortunately.
How can people better protect themselves online? Because in some cases, you do have to share some sensitive information.
Well, first of all, if you're sharing sensitive information, you want to double check the website that you're going to. Make sure that you are at the correct website. I mean, that's huge. So you want to go in, make sure that there's a lock symbol, because that shows that your information, whether you're using a credit card or sharing your Social Security number, that is going to be safe. And then you want to look really closely. Scammers are really good at just transferring a couple of letters in a website. And if you don't look at the URL very closely, you may not be at what you think you are. Also, you want to double check any phone numbers that you find through a web search. Make sure your cell phone is updated automatically, just like we do with our computers. Those are updates that the, you know, whether it's Apple or another company, those updates are security updates. They're constantly trying to stay a step ahead of the scammers. And so when you see that there's an update available, make sure you update it, because that's protecting you. You also want to turn on multi-factor authentication for your sensitive account. So if you don't know what that is, I'll explain it. You know, we all have passwords for things, but multi-factor means it's basically not only the password, but then you're going to get a text message to your phone, and you have to put that digit, that code that they give you in. If the scammer doesn't have access to your phone, they won't be able to do that second step of the process. So multi-factor authentication is really good for ensuring that your sensitive accounts, like banking accounts, they even have it available for Facebook now, are basically, it's like a second wall. It's an extra wall built around it so that they can't penetrate it. Backing up your data is also really good. But if you do find out that you have unfortunately fallen for one of these scams, you want to immediately change all of your passwords so that it doesn't continue to happen. You want to make sure you let your credit card company know if you feel like someone has your credit card information. Obviously, you'll want to get a new credit card. And then let your bank know as well.
My guest this morning is Kristen Johnson. Kristen is the spokesperson for the Connecticut chapter of the Better Business Bureau. And this morning on Face Connecticut, we are talking about their latest findings into phishing. Let's talk a little bit more about business and phishing, because as you had indicated earlier, business emails that try to compromise information that's sensitive, whether it's about company or the company's financials, whatever it may be, or employees too, it's on the rise.
It is. It's that business email compromise. We see huge losses in this, unfortunately. And the FBI found that only 20% of the cybercrime's victims reported the issue to authorities. So the numbers are even bigger than what we're seeing. I said earlier the FBI is seeing an average loss of $147,000. We've only received 210 reports to BBB Scam Tracker with a median loss of $550. So we know it's out there, and we know it's happening more than people are telling us. And a lot of times people don't report things out of embarrassment. You know, obviously a business that's lost personal sensitive information, and whether it is of their business themselves or of their employees, they may be shy to let, you know, the public know about that or let authorities know about that. But there's a couple of different examples that we've seen. One thing we've seen is that traditional business email compromise where an employee will get an email. They think it's from their boss, and they usually create a sense of urgency saying, you need to, you know, fulfill this request right away. So it might be an invoice from someone that looks like a third-party provider or a vendor. They might ask for a wire transfer of thousands of dollars. So the scammer's not only getting their money, they may be getting the bank account information of that business. We've seen other ones I've heard where someone has been asked to send gift cards to maybe a vendor that the business works with. And then the person actually has gone out, unfortunately, and bought hundreds of dollars worth of gift cards. I heard that happened to a church here in Connecticut once. And of course, you know, it was an innocent mistake, but this is why businesses need to have conversations with their employees of what to do when this happens. Because an employee, they want to serve their boss. They want to do what their boss is asking them to do. So, of course, they're happy to go along with it, not realizing that that's not really their boss that's asking for that information. So definitely something to be aware of. And, of course, we have some tips on how businesses can protect themselves. One is to avoid or double-check unknown invoices sent to email. And be wary of sudden requests to confirm financial information. You always want to check email addresses from trusted partners to avoid spoofs. Implement the multi-factor authentication for all payment processes to vendors. Again, train employees on how to spot and avoid phishing scams. And then create policies around best practices. And make sure, again, that your employees know what those best practices are.
Of course, Kristen, there's always that training that people have to go through at work. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. I've certainly seen it. Basically, anybody that works for any company, those are always those trainings that are sent out, sometimes with warning, sometimes without, you know, where the company tests you as to whether you can detect a phishing email.
I have not experienced that. That's interesting.
Oh, really?
No, I have not. But that's a good idea. I guess I haven't worked for big enough companies that did that, maybe. But you do need to make sure that your employees know an email request for a wire transfer to a new vendor is a big red flag. And be especially wary of requests for confidentiality or pressure to move quickly on the request. If at all possible, you want to voice verify the request with the person who's requesting it. So say you get a text message from your boss. Pick up the phone and call them. Because caller ID can be spoofed now. So scammers can send a text message. An example is people were getting text messages that said they were from mom or dad saying, I'm at the grocery store. I forgot my wallet. Can you Venmo me X amount of dollars so I can pay for our groceries? But that wasn't really coming from mom or dad. So you want to look in your phone book, look up the name of your boss, call them directly, say, hey, did you just text me or did you just email me this request? You know, it's gotten a lot easier for scammers because we're not all in the office at the same time. And so if you're working remotely, you may used to be just corresponding via email or text with your boss, but you really need to pick up the phone and call them.
What kinds of prosecutions and actions are taken against phishing scams and scammers?
So that's an interesting question because I brought up the FBI, and you know, BBB is a nonprofit. So when we see patterns of complaint, we will take that to the proper authorities, whether that's the FBI or here in Connecticut, it might be the Attorney General's office. But in 2024, a Nigerian national pleaded guilty to a role in a business email compromise scam that stole more than $15 million from a University of North Carolina. There was a man in New Jersey. He was indicted on 29 counts in a multi-million dollar scheme. It included 14 counts of wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and a securities fraud count. Among other counts, there was also aggravated identity theft. So there is some prosecution. There was a Florida man in January that was sentenced to 4.5 years in federal prison for another business email compromise. So authorities are getting after them, but the only way they can do it is if we speak up. We have to speak up. The FBI has a financial fraud kill chain to freeze funds that are wired, those wire transfers. Wire transfers, when we look at our scam tracker, and every year we do a scam tracker report where we look at all of the different types of scams that reported the previous year. Wire transfer is like the most costly way that people lose money. And so they have, the FBI has this freeze fund to fund to freeze the funds wired to scammers. They put nearly 540 million funds on hold, prevented them from getting in the hands of fraudsters. So that's great, but they can only do that if they know about it. So you need to report it. Report it to BBB Scam Tracker. Report it to the FBI. It's called IC3.gov. That's the FBI's website where you can report these scams, and report it to us as well so we can keep track of it and notify the public about what's going on.
Of course, you always share that information with us from time to time whenever you guys have something, and so we share it. So definitely important that people speak up when they have an experience like that. She's Kristen Johnson. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is Face Connecticut. Our guest this morning is Kristen Johnson, BBB Connecticut spokesperson, talking about the latest information on phishing scams, phishing with a P, not an F, this morning with us on Face Connecticut. Now, I wanted to talk with you a little more, Kristen, about phishing. I feel like there's so much more information out there, so many different kinds of scams that even in a half-hour program, it's hard to put it all in and get it out there to the public. But is there anything that I missed that you were really hoping to get on the show today?
You know, I think you did a really good job of just making sure that your audience knows all the different types of ways that people can be scammed. Again, I want to really highlight the fact that phishing scams, although they've been around for a long time, they have been used in every type of scam out there. We talked about the government impersonation scams, also cryptocurrency scams, romance scams. I mean, phishing is really sort of the root of all evils when it comes to scams, and it's happening by foreign state-run groups. It's happening in this country. It's happening everywhere. The FBI's Complaint Center totaled $18.7 million in stolen funds in 2023. So I want people to know that if it happens to them, they are not alone. And again, please report it to BBB Scam Tracker. That's bbb.org/scam tracker. Make those around you aware. Talk to someone you trust, whether it's a family member or a friend. Know that you're not alone. It's a very isolating experience. But just make sure you talk to someone, because the financial impact can be huge, but so can the emotional and mental impact. And so you really need to talk to someone about it. If you report it to Scam Tracker, it's anonymous, but the story of what happened to you will be out there so other people can learn from it, and it can help prevent other people from being scammed. And the only way we're going to stop scammers in their tracks is to be educated about what's out there.
Kristen, I really appreciate your time this morning on Face Connecticut. I know that we've done updates from time to time, and I'm sure we'll do another one in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.